to textbook case of female hysteria. We'll have her fixed in no time.
Stop her!
Alice Through the Looking Glass, the successor to Alice in Wonderland back in 2010, I believe, which made, if I'm not mistaken, that made over $1 billion. It's one of those success films that nobody likes to talk about today, because, and if they do talk about it, they talk about how much they hate that film. Me, I remember enjoying some aspects of it. I don't remember really liking it that much, but I don't really remember the film that much. I'm not going to lie. So I can't even sit up here and talk about that film, but I can talk about this film, which I will do right now, given a plot synopsis. So we've got the return of Mia Wasikowska, who's playing Alice Kingsley. And she's been away for a year from her home in London, sailing her father's ship around as captain. She comes back to find out, you know, her mom is in housing trouble, if you will, and pretty much has decided to sell the boat and sell the house and stuff like that. And Alice decides, and her mother is played by Lindsay Duncan here. So Alice decides, you know, well, fuck that. You can't do this. I can't do this. Because we're living in a time frame where women ain't really allowed to be doing the things that Alice is doing. But Alice is a free spirit. You know, you got to get that feminist message across these days. Even though back in that time frame, they'd hang your ass at the tongue. So women don't think like, oh, it's a thing to get women. Yeah, trust me, because if you were a different color, they would have hung his ass too, just as much. But, you know, Alice, we learn about Alice in Wonderland, or just Alice in general, she's kind of a pothead. She loves taking the LSD. And what do you do when you take LSD? You go on some major LSD trips. And that's what the rest of this movie's about, pretty much. She gets in her little pissy fit about, you can't do this, mother, and stuff like that. And the next, you know, that's when that caterpillar that was in the first film comes back in the voice of Alan Rickman, which you just, is passing away, and then hearing his voice, that really just came out like, oh, this is sad. And now he's a butterfly, and she's following this butterfly going, oh, where are you going? And it's just like, ooh, yeah, you were tripping some heavy balls here now. And she goes into a mirror that takes her back to Wonderland, or Underland, or whatever the hell they were calling it, because they had two different names. And she realizes, oh, my friend, my bestest friend in the world, Mr. Johnny Depp himself, who plays the Mad Hatter Tarrant in here. High top. He's a little bit under the weather, if you will. He's a little sad because he found a hat that he made as a child to his father, but his parents are dead. But yeah, he's going through some major fucking mood swings right now. Kind of like Alice was at the beginning of the film when she couldn't get her way. So he's going through mood swings where he looks like he's dying, possibly, because he's so sad. So it's up to Alice. She's just like, you know what? I have to save him. He is my best friend, and I have to do whatever it takes. And that's when Anne Hathaway comes in as Mirena, you know, the queen, if you will, and tells him there's only one way to bring his parents back. And that's to travel back in time. You must visit Sacha Baron Cohen's character, who plays Time. He is Time. It's a person in here. You must visit him and steal the, what was that thing called? A Holocrux? That's Harry Potter, huh? The crucifix? No, that's religion. Okay, some little fucking device that just makes you time travel, but it also fucks up time in general and stuff like that if you move it. Whatever. She has to take that and use it and go back to the time where his parents were supposedly killed and bring them back and prevent that from happening, so that way his parents will be here with him, thus preventing the Hatter from dying. That is your plot synopsis. Now we can talk about this. This movie is fucking stupid. From the, all the, you know what? Let me retract that. The first 10 minutes, I was like, I'm not enjoying this, but I'm intrigued in somewhat. And then when that damn butterfly came into the film and she goes back into the world, which, mind you, the world is still beautiful. It's gorgeous. CG effects in here, nobody does better than Disney. But I don't know what happened with the story in this. Obviously, this isn't following the book at all. Clearly, it has to be different from the book because that book is just, let's just say, out there, man. And because, hey, that's what Anne Hathaway would say in this film with her fucking dozy-ass fingers like she's some damn hippie or something like that. I was not feeling that at all. But they got the writer on here. And if I'm not mistaken, the writer on this is written for, like, Lion King, Beauty and the Beast, blah, blah, blah. Even got James Bobbin who directed this, even though this feels very Tim Burton-esque. If I had not known the director who did this, I'd have been like, yep, Tim Burton did this. But James Bobbin, who, if I'm not mistaken, he's going to be doing the next Men in Black film. But he did both the Muppet films. He directed both of them. I think he just wrote Muppets Most Wanted. I guess the Muppet things is the really only films he's really did. He did a lot of work with Ali G, which explains why Sacha Baron Cohen in this film, which I can already go ahead and break it down right now. I fucking hated him in this movie. I fucking despised every fucking bit of him on screen. Every bit on his, I don't know what he was doing or what he was portraying, but every time he opened up his fucking mouth, you just couldn't help but roll your damn eyes left to sideways. It was a toss-up between, I think, him and Johnny Depp on which annoyed me the fucking most. And the funny thing is, Johnny Depp is barely in the damn movie. But whatever he opened up his damn mouth, it's not a Hatter impersonation. It's just Johnny Depp putting his own personification onto a character. And he's like, he's got mush mouth, and he's talking with this like little kid, whimsy kid's voice and stuff. That shit was annoying as hell. And then not to mention his makeup, that shit looked weird, the way it just kept transferring color. You never once could pay attention to him as the character delivering the lines or anything. Like, you just couldn't help but just stare at the design work that was in. And you know, kudos to the costume designers and the production set designers and stuff like that. They did an amazing job. Without a doubt, they did an amazing job in here. The problem with this movie is it should have been not called Alice Through the Looking Glass. It should have been called Alice, We're Gonna Give You Nothing But a Shitload of Backstory. So let's call it Alice, / Exposition. They try to explain every good and goddamn thing you know from Alice in Wonderland. They want to explain everything of that movie. The problem this movie is it feels like a sequel. And by that, I don't mean that in a positive way. I mean, it feels like a sequel as if they had nothing to work with. They had no material to work with. So they just said, well, we got these characters. We got this story. The last one made over $1 billion. So, you know what? We got to make a sequel. We got to make that money off of it. And this one might make a shitload of money too, but I can tell you this right now. As far as getting down to Alice herself, Alice is boring as fuck. And the thing about Alice in here too, what makes, man, I'm not talking about the first Alice in Wonderland, the live action Tim Burton one, just talking about Alice in general. What makes that her interaction with this so well is that she's new to this. She's never intervened with these characters before and I like that. For this movie, she's met everyone in this fucking movie already. None of this is new to her. She never once questions what she's doing. They even tell her, oh, traveling back in time might be dangerous and stuff like that. She doesn't care. She jumps right to it. She is quick to just do things. She's a go-getter, if you will. But she never wants to stop some things saying, and isn't that a little bit extreme, though, just because, you know, his parents, he thinks they're alive or something like that. They never once put logic in anything. They just do things just to do it. The effects here, unlike Jungle Book, where the effects carry out the story and help provide the story to go further, the effects here does none of that. It's just making the movie look better than what it probably would look if another studio got a hold of it. And by all means, it looks great, but this is some style over substance shit, and there's no fucking substance here. And I thought that the film, I wish I could remember the first one so I can make comparisons, but I can't really do that. Helen Bonham Carter, she comes back as I don't know how the fuck you pronounce her name. She's the Red Queen of Erekabeth. I forgot how they say it in the fucking film. But I thought, personally, she was great in the movie. I thought she was funny as hell. She had her moments. She just little things just made her laugh and stuff like that, or the way she would shout at things. I thought she was good. I ain't gonna say great, never mind, take that back. She was good though. She provided some much needed humor for this film. But they want to give a backstory on her, and how, you're gonna laugh at this. The backstory of what they want to talk about her is how her head got so big. They want to explain that. They want to explain how, pretty much this whole movie, everything, the reason why it's happening and stuff like it, is based around Helena Bonham Carter's character and Anne Hathaway's character. And I fuck with you not, people. I fucks with you not. I keeps it 100, and I'm about to keep it 100. The plot of their reason why she's evil and why they bicker is because they, as children, were eating little, and this is, Alice sees this as she goes back in time and stuff like that as well. Because why? She just can't go back to the fucking period where the Hatter's family disappeared. Because the movie would end in fucking 20 minutes in or whatever. So they find some excuse where she's got to travel. She travels to other places that she shouldn't even fucking be in there. And instead of getting on her little device and flying back to the place she was, it's just like, we're just going to drag this shit out, huh? There isn't even no reason for this movie to be made. So she runs in on the Red Queen and Anne Hathaway, Miranda characters as young children, and they were children eating little pastry snacks. I don't know what it was, and you know, Anne Hathaway's character, she wasn't getting any of them. She kept getting the crust parts because Helena Bonham Carter's character, she kept eating the fillings inside and stuff. So there was only one left, and they got in trouble, and she ate it, and she tried to kick the crumbs under Helena Bonham Carter's bed. And when the mother found out, oh, it's missing, it's gone, stuff like that, this whole plot revolves around Anne Hathaway lying about taking that last treat and saying Helena Bonham Carter's character took it. This whole movie revolves around that. And I was just like, over a fucking pastry. My eyes could not roll so hard. They rolled so hard in the back of my head, I was looking at the audience behind me. This shit was the most retarded shit. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. And the movie even has the audacity to end with Anne Hathaway's character saying, you were right, I did take the last bait, and I apologize for it, and I hope it's not too late for you to forgive me. And then the Red Queen starts crying, saying, that's all I ever wanted. I was like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. I was like, okay, Alice, whatever LSD you taking, it's the most painful fucking LSD I think I've ever witnessed. I was just sitting there going like, oh, look, I know it's fantasy and we gotta suspend our disbelief, but over a fucking pastry, are you kidding me? And not to mention, we find out, you know, that, oh, the Hatter's parents, they weren't killed. The Hatter was right this whole time, and we didn't believe him. Oh my God, Helena Bonham Carter, she took them away because she brought tyranny to the land because they made a mockery of her with the crown ceremony because the crown wouldn't fit on her head, and everyone laughed at her, and she blamed the Hightop family, and she vowed to have their revenge on them, so she turned them into little people. They're little people in a little sand farm now and stuff like that, and Alice finds that out. She rushes back to the Hatter's house only to find out that it's too late, he's died, but for some reason he comes back to life, or I think, I don't even know if he died or not. What shrooms are you taking, girl? And she tells him, your family isn't murdered. They've been taken hostage by the evil witch, the evil queen. We need to go get them. Thus, we get to Helena Bonham Carter stealing the little time thing from Alice here. And she travels back in time with this device, which she wasn't supposed to do, because the rule is, only reason why Alice can travel back in time is because she wasn't from this world. The rule is, if you are from this world, it's dangerous for you to travel back in time, because if you run into your former self, that can mean the destruction of this entire universe here. Helena Bonham Carter doesn't listen to that. She does it anyway, and she confronts little version of Anne Hathaway and herself and saying, she's a liar, and the next thing, the whole world just starts freezing up, only to just Alice barely making it back, and not even making it back. She, before she even makes the time device back to where it needs to be to reset everything back to the way it was, she doesn't even make it. Hand is ready to drop the ball right into the dot, and it looks like, oh, despair everywhere. But in my mind, I was thinking, well, the ball is just going to fall out of her hand. It's going to land near her. No, they don't even do that. A little electricity spark shoots up from it and just resets everything. I was like, you got to be fucking, what was the point of even doing that then? What was the fucking point of it doing it? Who the hell said it could shoot that? Okay. They have good talent behind this film. Those Muppet movies, I think I liked Most Wanted more because it felt more of a Muppet movie. It didn't have that fucking Jason Segel in there. But those Muppet movies are fine. They're decent. The director is fine. Whatever. The writer worked on some classic Disney films, Mulan included, I believe. They didn't write Mulan or anything. I think it was like helping with some storyboard artists and stuff like that. But whatever. Worked on some talented Disney films. The talent behind the camera is great. I mean, I can go ahead and probably say great. This movie has some terrible fucking writing in it, though, I must say. There is a scene in here where Sacha Baron Cohen's character, Time, he runs into this time frame, because he gets his own little traveling device, and he runs into a time frame where he runs into a younger Hatter and all the little furry bastards that's running around. This scene annoyed the holy fucking piss out of me. It was nothing but time puns after time pun, and this scene goes on for fucking 5 minutes. This scene drugged the fucking soul out of me. It was like, are you fucking kidding me? They were saying even when the Chester Cat came in, he was like, I'm on time. Time is on my shoulders right now, or something like that. And I was just like, yeah. And then they were just like, well, do you have time for that? And I was just like, oh my God, please, please fucking stop, whatever. They were just like, well, the time is set in motion. And I was like, I don't lie. At this point, I was ready to walk out. I was ready to fucking walk out. I was like, I can't do this anymore. I can't do this anymore. And then they're saying, because when he got mad about it, they were just like, it looks like time isn't fitting at this moment right now. I was like, oh, somebody fucking please put a bullet in my goddamn head right now. And it was funny because everybody, every critic in that theater was just staring. It was just like, what the fuck is this? And stuff like, what is this? I even heard somewhere, it was like, wow, this is worse than the fucking first one. I don't remember the first one. I would love to make that comparison with you. I don't remember it at all, to be honest, though. But this one is pretty fucking awful, I gotta say. You know, it's funny, I'm about to crack a point here, but this movie wasted my goddamn time. Sacha Baron Cohen needs to give me all of my time back and then some. Another thing, too, is there's even a scene where Time catches Alice and she jumps back through the mirror. And it's funny because she wakes up in a mental institute, and I was like, wow, that's where you actually belong. She escapes. But then at the end of the movie, when she comes back, nobody questions it. Nobody brings it up or anything like that. And I know probably somebody's like, oh, but that's the magic of time travel. They ain't time travel in this fucking world. They time travel in the Wonderland world. So, and none of that makes any damn sense at all. Because they told her, oh, you were under the bed just shouting shit and stuff like that. I'm just like, I'm glad we all can agree that this girl is just high as fuck right now. And that none of this shit is real that's going on. And what pisses me off even more is that this movie is based around the Hatters family, who in two movies you've never seen and you don't really give a fuck about them. And it's based around the fact that we have to do this mission just because he's feeling sad. Because he saw a fucking blue hat. Which, where the fuck did that hat come from in the first damn place? If they were held captives for so many, did they just go to an area that they've never been to and it was just there? I guess. I don't really give a shit, to be honest. I really don't want that explained to me. For the love of God, I don't want that explained. And when we get to the halfway point, personally, I just got bored. I didn't care about anyone. I didn't care about anything. I really felt like, I don't even know why we're traveling these other time periods right now. Like, this whole mission was to set out to go to this one area, and yet we seem to be going to every other place except that one area where this incident happened, just so we can drag this film out a little bit longer. I see why it's an hour and a half. They didn't have nothing to work with off of here. I personally, like I said, I was somewhat intrigued by the first 5-10 minutes of the film. Helen Bonham Carter, I thought was great. The animation, the storyboard artists, they were great and stuff like that. But man, that shit was just not enough to help this movie at all. Because the problem is that the artwork here and the design and stuff like that, they don't push a story along here. It's just shit happening for the sake of shit happening. Sacha Baron Cohen, he might as well just be playing his character from Hugo, but worse, personally. I did not like him at all in this film. Matt Lucas as Tweedledee and Tweedledum, they were cool, but for a little bit they were on screen. Every time they popped up, it was just like, oh, there they go. You know, that's a cool special effect they got going on there, but there's really nothing to their storyline here, neither. You know what? I can't remember what I gave Tomorrowland. think I might have gave it a stream, it maybe a low streamer or something like that. Yeah, this might be one of the worst Disney movies I've seen in quite some time. I'm a huge ass Disney lover. I suck Disney's dick like a motherfucker, but this movie, once again, hit this pun. This is a waste of my good and goddamn time. I gotta give this a fuck it. Man, you know, I'll give it a high fuck it just for those Helen Bonham Carter moments and the designs and stuff like that. But deep down in my heart, the story of this movie was shit. It was nothing really going on. I almost damn near hate everyone involved with this film personally. And then the biggest fault of the movie too, not only the story that they try to contrive out of this, because, you know, the Mad Hatter and Johnny Depp is such a popular character and actor. Well, on that actor part, not so much anymore. But it's such a love character with design here that of course they were going to make a sequel based off him. They had that without him actually being in it. So it's just Alice. It's like playing Call of Duty Ghosts. You got Alice, who's bland and boring her damn self, and all you see is really her hands as she go through the motion of just doing, completing other people's missions and shit like that. It's like, oh, isn't that fun? That's what everybody wants. Yeah. So, yeah, I'll give it a high fuck it. I think that's about as fair as I can be personally, but, nah, I think personally I need some shrooms now just to help escape the memory of this goddamn movie.
Hello, Alice. Cat is counting on you.